Bibles this morning and go ahead and be turning to the book of 1 John, the epistle of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. And when you find your place there, you can stand as we read the Word of God and we'll reverence the reading of His Word this morning. All right. 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 5 this morning. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5. He says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Chapter 2, verse 1, He said, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace this morning. Thank You for letting us be in the house of God. Thank You, Lord, for the good testimonies, Lord, the good hymns that's been sung, the prayers that have been prayed, the giving that's been done. Lord, thank You for the good special that's been sung. Lord, I just thank You for it all. Thank You that You've allowed us to be here this morning. And Father, I pray that You would help us now, Lord, as we've come to this time of preaching. Lord, I pray that You would give us that special touch that makes preaching this morning. Father, I pray that You would permit me to preach, allow me to preach. And Father, I pray that it would not fall on deaf ears, but Lord, You would give us eyes to see and ears to hear this morning. Open our hearts, I pray. Help us to receive from heaven what You would have us to receive. And Father, I pray for that lost soul that may be among us this morning, Lord, that You would do a work in that heart, Lord, that You would speak and move, and Lord, draw them to the foot of the cross that they might be saved before it's too late. And Lord, for those of us that are saved, I pray that You would, Lord, encourage us, uplift us, reprove, rebuke us where we need it. Lord, I pray that You would just teach us more of Yourself. Help us to leave here better Christians, living for You better, better servants. Lord, I just pray You'd have Your will and way in our lives. And we'll thank You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Looking here in the first chapter of 1 John and really kind of getting into the latter, last half of this chapter, verse 5 down to the end of the chapter. And I felt it necessary to read the first two verses of the next chapter, because what I think it helps us to do is to see the difference in a couple of things that he's talking about here. If you'll notice in verse number 6, he begins to talk about walking in darkness. In verse 7, he talks about walking in the light. And so we've got walking in light, walking in darkness. And I said that to say this. As you read verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, "These things write I unto you, that ye sin not." And so it begins the talking about sinning. And I said that to say this. I believe there is a difference the Lord is talking about when He's talking through John. I believe He's giving us a difference in walking in darkness and in sinning. There's a difference in walking in light and, you know, sin, you know, being sinless. He's not talking about being sinless whenever He talks about walking in the light. And so I read that to help us make that distinction, because as you read the book of 1 John, 1 John is written to believers. Now, the same John that wrote the three epistles of John is the same John that wrote the Gospel of John, okay? The Gospel of John tells a man how he can be saved, amen? Represents Christ as the great I Am. Lamb, as the Son of God, the sacrifice for humanity and for our sins, the Lamb of God, all those things. So the gospel would tell a man how to be saved. The epistle of 1 John would tell a man how to live now that he is saved. And so he's writing to save people, but in the first chapter, he's not necessarily always writing about saved people. And we'll get into some of this. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but as we look at 1 John, the end of this chapter, I don't believe God is necessarily indicting the reader with being deceived or deceiving themselves. What seems to be taking place here is that he is affirming truth that they already know, that they would not be deceived by these folks out here who are claiming to be saved or claiming to be something that they are not. Amen? Because we're dealing with how to live after you are saved in the book of 1 John. You know, God is interested in that. God is interested in how we live. He's interested in how those people that claim to be saved and say that they are a child of God, He is interested in our behavior. Isn't that right? And so really what we see here, we see the first part of the chapter, we saw Christ, the manifestation of Christ. Christ manifested. And he's talking about, he who we've handled with our hands, we've touched, and we've heard him and all those things. But then he gets into Christ's message. And that really is what we're looking at. We're going to this morning be looking at the details of Christ's message. Now, in verse 5, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Now, if anyone was to say, what is God saying to me? What is it the message that God wants me to hear? What is the message that Jesus wants me to hear? What is the message that Jesus is telling me? What is it God wants me to know? This is it right here. That's flat out what he said. This is the message that Christ gave to us, and now we're giving it to you, and that is this, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. You know, humanity has got to understand that if it'll ever have a right understanding of God. You know, we're lacking that now. People are departing from the correct understanding of God and who He is. I mean, the average person in the South now, God is the man upstairs. You know, He's the good Lord. He's, the big Santa Claus in the sky, and if I act good, I'll get everything I want, and you listen to the TBN crowd, and he's just this God that showers you the blessings. As long as you're faithful enough and you've got enough faith, then all your bills will be paid and everything. Listen, God never promised any of that. Amen. I tell you what the problem is. They've missed this message that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And light speaks of purification and glorification and illumination. All those things we dealt with last week. Amen. It speaks of the holiness of God. Above everything else, God is holy. And in Him, there is no darkness at all. Isn't that right? And that's what the gospel is all about, isn't it? It's all about dealing with man's sin problem. Man is in darkness. He is dead in trespasses and sins. And Christ came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundant. And He said, "I am the light of the world." And so you say, what's God? If God would have me know anything, what is it? This is it right here. This is the message. And everything you know about God will always stem from this. Amen. I mean, just think about it. Everything we ever know or learn from God will always flow from His holiness. The fact that He is light and in Him is no darkness at all. But then, He doesn't just give the message. He goes on to kind of elaborate this message. He goes on to somewhat put it into practice, to kind of put it in shoe leather, and to kind of show, how this affects humanity. Because the light of God's holiness does affect humanity. The fact that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, and the fact that man is in darkness, it affects us. Amen. And he shows kind of the elaborates on how it affects us. And that's what I want to look at this morning, is the details of Christ's message, the elaboration of this message. Now, again, the first message has to do with the Father. And God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And we talked last week about all the things that means concerning God. The things that speaks of concerning God. But then, as He elaborates, He brings up several different things in the next several verses as to how that message touches humanity. How that message affects you and me. What it means for us and what it means for mankind in 2023. First of all, and he gives several different things, but the first one's in verse number 6. And there is a message about fakes. A message about fakes. Now in verse 6 he says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now again, he is talking, he's writing to saved people, but he's not necessarily always writing about saved people. He is affirming truth that they already know and making it very clear so that these, any believer, any child, he goes on to, you know, this letter is written as a father to children, and that's what he says in chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you. So any child of God, any believer would not be deceived by someone that is claiming to be one thing, but is embodying something else, something different. And so he gives them a word about faith. And you know, one of the great heresies, not just of this day. It's funny, you read commentators and they talk about the heresies of this day when this book was being written. And I'm always scratching my head thinking, man, what are you talking about? That's still a great heresy of this day. Well, this is still going on. This is just as bad, if not worse, now than it ever has. And so one of the great heresies of this day and one of the great heresies of our day is the belief for this whole thing is that you can live in sin and still fellowship with God. But the reason people believe that is because they don't realize that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And that is a high gear heresy that many people have deceived themselves into believing. And that is why the hallmark of the last days is deception. I mean, we talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Listen, I mean, there's a revival of religion. I mean, religion's in revival all the time. Isn't that right? I mean, it's easy to pack out a church. I mean, if you just give people what they want. You know, and tell people, you know, pat people on the head and tell them what a great job they're doing, and they'll go to heaven when they die, and we'll all just hold hands and go to heaven together, you know. I mean, who wouldn't want a religion like that? I mean, who wouldn't want a preacher to preach my wicked, you know, family member's funeral who just, you know, puts them right on into heaven, and they live wicked and all those things? I mean, who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want to be able to just live how they want to? But I'm telling you, that is the deception of our day. And it was deception of their day, and it's deception of our day. And, you know, the thing is, and what's interesting about that is that that was no doubt, that belief idea was going on when John wrote this letter. And it hasn't changed now. It hasn't changed. It's never changed. We're always preaching about how bad things are and how much better they used to be. But let's be honest with you, humanity doesn't change. Mankind doesn't change. Amen. And anywhere you go in the world, man's problem is always sin. Amen. And man's problem is that he needs Jesus. Amen. He's dead in trespasses and sins. And so the same things they were struggling with then, we're struggling with now. I understand sin's getting worse and it's a part of the last days. I understand that. But I'm just saying that humanity's problem has not changed at all. Amen. In fact, you read Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon talked about, you know, not talking about how there was a day that's better than this day, you know, that kind of good old days mentality. Listen, brother, humanity's problem has always been the same. Humanity, the flesh, will always look for a way to hang on to everything that it loves and still have God, still have eternal life. Always. And that's what he's talking about here. He's giving them a word, a message about fakes. That word fellowship he uses there. That word fellowship occurs, in definition, fellowship in and of itself, it occurs when there's something common between two people. There's got to be something common. And this fellowship it's talking about is on the fellowship on a spiritual level. Now, you know, if you got two people who like sports, they can get along. They have something common in sports. Something, you know, they like deer hunting or whatever. They can, you know, talk about that. But this is talking about a spiritual level of fellowship where they have something in common. They're fakes. They're phonies. I've never in my life believed this thing where somebody makes a profession of faith and gets saved and then lives for the devil for 30 years before they finally rededicate their life and get their life right and start living for Jesus. I've never believed that once in my life. You wonder why I've never believed it? Now, I've heard a lot of people claim it, and I've heard a lot of people testify of it. Good people, I've heard them testify. But the problem is, it does not line up with what I see in this Bible. It does not line up with what I read in this Bible. Listen, Jesus makes a difference in somebody's life, and He's affirming that to anyone that would believe. In other words, He's saying, listen, what you believe, what you feel about that is true, and it's right, and don't believe what anybody else says about it. If somebody comes to you claiming to be one thing, but they are living something else, they are what they are living, not what they are claiming. That's what He's telling them. See, walking in the light, again, doesn't mean sinless. And I don't want you to get that impression because He's not talking about living a sinless life. But listen, whenever you get saved, you are then walking in the light. We sang that song, I think, Wednesday night. Brother Jamie said, I'd never heard that song in my life, but I liked it. We sang that song, I'm in a new world. And that's the way getting saved is. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. And I've not been perfect. And I've not been everything I should be. And I'm still not everything I should be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. And I'm not dead like I used to be. And I see things that I didn't used to see. And I hear things I didn't used to hear. And God is showing me things that He didn't used to show me and speaks to me in ways that He didn't used to speak to me. And that is what being saved is. That is walking in the light. Amen? And so, again, He's not talking about being sinless, but that word darkness there. He says, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness. You know, that's the same word that is used for outer darkness in the Bible. Of religion on the outside, and they have their hair combed right and have their suit and tie, and they be dressed up and look just like they're supposed to, look just like a good little young Christian. But God knows and they know if they are walking in darkness on the inside and they are hiding from God, and there's things that they don't want God knows, and there's sure things there that they don't want you to know, amen, because their life is in darkness. See, that's what sin does. It puts us in darkness and it brings shame and causes us to want to hide from God. That's whenever His face appears. They're going to be crying for the mountains to fall on them, to hide them from His face because of the shame of sin. And so He's talking about fakes. And He goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. That's what sin does to man without Christ. It puts him in darkness, hiding from God, living in obscurity. And I've told you the story several times. That's just like why, you know, they shoot the streetlights out in the rough neighborhoods. You get in the wrong side of town, it gets dark. Because they shoot out the streetlights and they want it dark. And you know, because they don't want people to see them misbehaving. Sin is done in the dark. The life of sin is lived in the dark. Amen. What it boils down to and what He's saying, what God is telling us and what's being affirmed to anyone that would believe this is that at the end of the day, words mean nothing. But walk means everything. When Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them, listen, He wasn't talking about what they claimed to be. He was talking about what their life produced as a result of their nature. As a result of who and what they are. That's what fruit is, isn't it? It is what is produced by Jesus told that crowd, I believe it was in Capernaum, He said, this multitude, these people, they draweth nigh to Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me. And that's what He's saying. There's a word about faith. Not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said. And not everyone that comes to you, and not everyone that slips into this church, and not everyone that God puts us in contact with, and sure, not everybody out there that claims to be saved and claims to be a child of God is. And you'll know them by their fruits. See, you know, the world really is not even so interested in what we do in here anyways. You realize that? The world isn't interested in how we worship. I mean, the average person out there, even the average religious person, they don't care what we're doing in here. They don't care what Bible we're using. And they don't care how we baptize. I mean, we could sprinkle. We could dip them upside down, three front and three back. I mean, we could be cutting the heads off chickens in here. They don't care out there what we're doing in here. What matters to them is what we are out there before them. As far as the world's concerned, it does not matter what's going on in here. What makes a difference, though, and what God uses in their life is what goes on out there, how you live out there. And do you know the world does have the right, the world reserves the right to expect God's people to live different from them. They do. They have that right. Anytime someone who says they're saved and says they're a part of this church and, you know, whatever, and they're out and somebody calls them on the carpet for doing something they shouldn't be doing, hey, you shouldn't get mad about that. And people do. They get mad about it. You know, I mean, who do they think they are? But at the end of the day, the world has got the right to hold a child of God to a higher standard. Amen. That's right. We owe it to them, and they have the right to expect it of us. Because words mean nothing. Walk means everything. That's what He's saying. So He's got a message about fakes. And then there's a message here about fellowship. In verse number 7, He says, But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ. If you back up, He says in verse 3, He says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And so the fellowship one with another, the fellowship between brethren, is that light that's on the inside of us. And so the point that He's making is that that light is what makes the difference. The light is what makes the common. The light of God, the light of Christ, is what makes the difference in somebody's living and how they live, what causes them to walk in the light. There is not a person that's been saved yet that's lived a perfect life after they got saved. But everyone and every single person that gets saved walks in the light after they get saved. Amen? Not one has ever been perfect since they got saved, but every single one has walked in the light. Because God comes on the inside, God illuminates the man, and in Him is light. He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And that's what creates this fellowship between brethren. Isn't that right? You know, you could never build a church or build a congregation that would last if you ever built it on anything other than Jesus Christ. Because fads come and go, and the things we're interested in, they come and go. Even friendships come and go. I mean, the best friendships, they come and they go. And what you common amongst us all is Him, then that will never change in us. And I just believe this, a person who is saved and filled with the light of Christ and the light of God, you couldn't make them quit. to. Amen. Listen, if you run them out of one church, they'll find another good church to go to. Amen. Great peace have they which serve thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen. But God has got to get on the inside. Amen. And so the light is what causes the fellowship between brethren. A lot of preachers today and a lot of people are scratching their heads wondering, how are we going to build a church? How are we going to build a church? I mean, you can build a social club any way you want to. Just give people what they want. But if you remove the man and if you remove what people want, then it'll die. But if you build something on Christ, it'll go on forever. It'll go on for eternity. The gates of hell will not prevail against it, he said. Churches die sometimes, but the church never dies. Amen? And so, it's what creates that fellowship. He goes on in that same verse, verse 7, he said, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And so, cleanseth us from all sin. That is, the blood of Christ is constantly cleansing us. It is a constant cleanse. Now, He is not preaching and teaching work salvation here. That you got to live right and you know you got to be in fellowship with your brother in order for the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from all sin. That's not what He's saying. He's saying that this is the way it is. That those that walk in darkness, they are lying and they're not doing the truth. By the way, that phrase, do not the truth, that speaks of habitually not doing the, rejecting the truth. It speaks of their lifestyle. And then on the flip side, he's given us a contrast that you got on one side, the walking in darkness and lying and doing not the truth versus those that walk in the light. They have fellowship with one person. The blood of Jesus Christ is constantly cleansing them from all their sin. That's what's going on. In other words, it's a picture of what is going on in the heart, in the spirit. In the life of every saved person, that is what is happening if you're saved. There's going to be a gate, except for Jesus. And there's a constant cleansing from your sin that is going on by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so He's not saying you got to do this for it to be that way. He's saying this is the way it is if you're saved. It's the contrast there. And so there's a message about fellowship. Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Amen. It's a bloody gospel. And so there's a message about fakes. There's a message about fellowship. But then there's a message about folly. Look in verse 8. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, there's a progression here, even though the verses are kind of broken up, there's still a progression here. And the progression of verse 8 is picking up the progression from verse 6. It starts with saying that you have fellowship with Him and yet walking in darkness. That's what he said in verse 6. We say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And there's a pile of people doing that today. Saying they have fellowship with Him. I mean, you ever talk to somebody? I mean, in the South, I mean, you knock on any door, everybody's saved. Everybody's saved. Going to heaven, you know. And so, but they're walking in darkness. The Lord has clearly made no difference in their life. They have no more interest in the things of God right now than they ever have in their whole life. But they're good. They're saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Yes, I'm saved, you know. So it starts with that. But then the progression picks up in verse 8. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It starts with just saying, me and the man upstairs, oh yeah, we're good. I got that took care of, you know, I'm good with the man upstairs. And that progresses to saying I have fellowship with him but walking in darkness. It progresses then into maybe not even saying it with the lips, but saying it in the heart that I really have no sin. It gets a man or woman, gets somebody to the point where they so deceive themselves that they don't even believe they have any sin. You know what that moves into? That moves into that conscience being seared as with a hot iron. That's exactly what that is. Getting to the point to where nothing I do, nothing I say, no way that I can live could ever be sin. It doesn't bother man anymore. And that is the folly of believing that. So the profession of verse 6 leads men to deceive themselves to this degree. And that's the day we're living in now. We talk about the moral compass being gone. We're seeing the moral compass. We're seeing the morality of man. The common graces we talk about. The things that at once was common are not common anymore. I mean, it's hard to even convince people how wicked this stuff is. In fact, we're getting to the place now where it's not just people not even believing that things are sin, but it's believing that the sin is what's right. And what's right is what is wrong. That is the day. That's the society we're living in now. That's where we're coming to today. And it's no different than what he's talking about in 1 John chapter 1, right? 1 John chapter 1. And he's affirming these truths in our heart that we would not be deceived. That you or me, none of us would ever look at somebody that says one thing about their life, but they live another, is real. Because at the end of the day, there's nothing real in it. It is folly. And they'll eventually lead to that profession will eventually lead to the belief that there's no sin in them. And you know, you ever talk to somebody, again, this kind of gets back to talking to people about salvation, you know, talk to them about, you know, salvation, eternity, things that really matter, and they make that statement. I made it earlier, I'm good. Nothing worse could ever be said about yourself because there's none good but God. But see, people have got the point now, they believe they're good. Oh, I'm good. I'm all right. I'm good. And so they may not say it, but man will believe it in his heart. One man said, it's one thing to be wrong, but quite another to be convinced that one is right in that wrong. And that's the progression it leads to. So there's a message about folly, but then there's a message about forgiveness. He says in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, there's two things right here in this passage that establish for certain one's fellowship and favor with God. He exposes it, right? He makes it very clear. And there's two things. The first one is verse number 7, and that is holy conduct. You cannot be indwelt with the Holy Spirit without being holy. And I think that's what Billy Mitchell used to talk about. You know, man used to say, ask him, you know, how do I know if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, do you want to be holy? Because you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit without wanting to be holy. And so, holy conduct will establish for certain that someone is in fellowship with God. But then number 2, the second one, is a humble confession. And that's what he deals with in verse number 9. A man being honest with himself and honest with God about his sins. You know, the way you can know that you're saved and the way you can know somebody else is truly saved is do they have holy conduct and a holy confession in their life. They've gotten honest with themselves and honest with God, and God has made a difference in their life and their walk. There's a message about forgiveness. But then last of all, there's a message about falsehood. In verse number 10, he says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Albert Barnes said this regarding that phrase, his word is not in us. He said that is his truth. That is, we have no religion. The whole system of Christianity is based on the fact that man is a fallen being and needs a Savior. And unless a man admits that, of course, he cannot be a Christian. That's what Albert Barnes said. And that's what John is saying right here. That's been the message for all these years, and it's still true today. Even in these days of deception, it's still the truth. That if we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You know, that word confession there in verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins. That's a very, very weighty word. And it actually goes beyond just simply mouthing the words. Because I don't know about you, but I've heard a lot of lost people mouth the words. In fact, we go down to the jail every Tuesday night, and I heard a lot of them guys confess that they're wrong and confess their sin. But it's always kind of like this. Well, yeah, nobody's perfect. It's that kind of confession. Like, we're all sinners. But it's not personal. I believe it was Brother James Jones in his book talking about this. He talked about how that confession there, how confession, true confession, like what he's talking about here, he said if a person confesses their sin to God with the plan to go commit that sin again, it doesn't mean anything. And that's the difference in true confession and a false confession. By the way, that's the difference in true repentance. Just feeling bad about your sin, too. A lot of people confess. A lot of people, you know, they want to repent, all these things, to fix their life and to fix their problems right now. But deep in their heart, God knows and they know, they plan to go back down that road again. They want to get their circumstances fixed now, but they plan to go right back to it if they get the opportunity. And God knows. God knows the difference. And what He's telling us right here, this is the message from God. This is the message. That fellowship with God involves holy living and a humble confession. And anyone that would say that they are in fellowship with God, anyone that would say, pay lip service to being saved or to being right with God, all those things, if it doesn't show up in their life and their lifestyle, it is not real, because He will make a difference. You know, the whole message, since we started going through 1 John, the whole theme, the whole message has been this: know that you know. It's the whole theme of 1 John is knowing. Isn't that right? Knowing. These things write unto you that ye may know. That's what he's laying out here right now. Listen, you can know. You can know the difference. And that's the reality in each of us personally, is that you need to know that you know. How does this truth touch you? Have you only paid lip service to salvation? Or is the God who is light, you know, and in Him is no darkness at all, is He really on the inside making a difference in your life? Amen. Know that you know. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace, and I thank You for Your Word and for helping us with it. I pray that You'll take it and use it this morning. I pray that You'd speak to all of our hearts. Lord, help us to learn and know more of You. Bless now on the altar call. I pray for, Lord, any that You spoke to their heart this morning, Lord, that You'd help us, Lord, to do business with You. Help us, Lord, to respond in a way You'd have us to respond. Receive Your Word with meekness and gladness, and we'll thank You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen.